Hallelujah. I said, hallelujah.
Hallelujah.
Glory to God. All right. Amen. We just came back from a leadership retreat this weekend. And hallelujah. My voice is shot. So that means one thing. It's going to crack a lot. Please ignore it. We don't want to disturb the flow of the anointing. Amen. So hallelujah. Turn to Deuteronomy chapter 8. Let's look at this passage together. The word of the Lord says in verse 1, be careful to follow every command I am giving you today, so that you may live and increase and may enter and possess the land that the Lord promised on oath to your forefathers. Hallelujah. There is a blessing and a promise that God made to Abraham in the book of Genesis, saying to him that you will be blessed to be a blessing to all nations. All the nations on the earth will be blessed through you. Hallelujah. And the word of God says that we are the seed of Abraham, that we inherit that promise and blessing to be a blessing to all nations. You see, that promise was so big, it was not fulfilled in Abraham's lifetime. And you know what? It wasn't fulfilled in his children or his grandchildren's lifetime either. It is continually being fulfilled today. And we are Abraham's seed. Amen?
Amen.
Hallelujah. Tell your neighbor, you are the seed of Abraham. You're the seed of Abraham. So when we look at Deuteronomy chapter 8, there is a way to look at Deuteronomy chapter 8 in the context of history. And there is a way to look at Deuteronomy chapter 8 in the context of the fulfillment of God's purpose and promise. So if you look at Deuteronomy chapter 8, I believe we can apply it to JSCM. Okay? So it says here, be careful so that you may enter. Be careful to follow my commands so that you may enter and possess the land. Hallelujah. Each of you has a promised land to enter. Amen? God does not want you to wander in the desert. But how many Christians, they live their life wandering, aimless, purposeless, clueless. Hallelujah. But if we act and behave just like the Israelites did, that's exactly what we will experience. Aimless wanderings in the desert. Hallelujah. You grumble like your Israelites, you also will be aimless in the desert. But God doesn't want you to stay in the desert. He wants you to enter the promised land. Amen. There are visions and dreams that God has given you. They are deep in your heart. He has planted them. Hallelujah. Before you were even born, He planned out the purposes for your life. That's why so many people, they live their life, they live it, and they might even live a successful life. But if they are not connected to the purposes of God, they feel clueless. They feel aimless. And they start to look for their purpose. And people have midlife crises, right? And they're just like, they change their career, or they get disillusioned with all their many years. They're so driven for one thing. And they succeed, and then they find that they still feel empty and purposeless. The only way you can feel that emptiness for your purpose is to get connected with your Creator who made that purpose so that you may live it out. Hallelujah. We as a church, we have a promised land to enter as well. Amen?
Amen.
Hallelujah. And I've been preaching And I've been casting vision that 300, hallelujah, is our promised land right now. Come on now. We've been here. I'm not saying this is the desert. Hallelujah. JSEM is flowing with milk and honey in a lot of ways. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. Or Will Smith says milk and honeys. Hallelujah. All right. Hallelujah. Praise the Lord. Praise the Lord for our sisters. Amen. JSEM is not the desert, but if our church continues to remain where we are, we've got to ask ourselves, there's got to be more than this. What is the promised land for this church? And I believe right now our promised land for this church is to go up and take that town. And that town is called 300. Hallelujah. Gideon, he had 300 men. And with 300 men and his army, he routed armies of millions. Hallelujah. And God used dreams to scare the living daylights out of the enemy. And then they just went in with pots. If you know the story, they just ran in, 300 men, with pots. And they started shattering pots. And everyone was like, oh no, the whole Gideon army has ransacked us. And there was only 300 of them. But the enemy, millions of people, the warriors started stabbing each other. And Gideon had the victory. 300. God, 300 committed soldiers for God's kingdom can do a lot of damage to the kingdom of Satan. Hallelujah. So, I don't know, that's 300. Hallelujah. You know what? Hollywood stole that movie idea. 300. This is not madness. This is Sparta. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. Our church has a promised land right now. And that promised land, we got to eye it. 300 is not it. It's not. That's not it. But that's our next step, I believe. And we got to pray toward that, brothers and sisters. Pray toward it. Believe it. Visualize it. See this church growing, being blessed, that you may increase. Hallelujah. And take it and possess it. But you know what? A key to possessing the land, if you look in verse 1, is you got to follow every command of God. We must live set apart. We must seek to live holy lives. Be holy because the Lord your God is holy. That should be our primary reason why we should live a holy life. Why we should have pure thought lives. Why we should seek integrity. Why we should put away our double lives, our hypocrisy, and seek and aim to live a holy life. We are to follow every command of God. Hallelujah. If we follow every command of God, I believe that we will go in to take the promised land. That's why we had our healing and deliverance retreat this weekend. If you really think about healing and deliverance, the ministry of healing and deliverance is following every command of God. You know what? Sometimes before you become a Christian or during your backsliding season, you do things that is sin, that offends God, that grieves God. And those sins, they continue to affect you. There's a word in the Old Testament called iniquity. And unfortunately, Bible translators synonymously use it with the word sin. But the word iniquity is not the same word for sin. Okay? Iniquity means sin and its consequences. That's why a generation under idolatry, 3-4 generations later, they will bear the iniquities of their forefathers. But hallelujah, our God is a God who forgives iniquity if you confess the sins of your fathers. That's what Nehemiah did before he built the temple. He did not come before God presumptuously. But he saw the laws of God, and he knew that his fathers had committed idolatry. And he confessed and renounced the sins of his fathers in order to receive mercy from the Lord to begin doing his work of building the temple. Here at JSEM, we're building a house, amen? We're building a house of prayer. with doing the work of the Lord. But in order to do the work of the Lord, we must have clean hands. We must have a pure heart. Not just for the things in your present or things in the past 4 years, but things for your whole lifetime. And I think the reason why God may keep bondage in your life from sins from way back in your youth, they continue to affect you, the iniquities of your youth continue to affect you, is because God is saying, follow all of my commands. If you are going to follow all my commands, that means confess the sins even of your youth. Especially sins like idolatry. All right, you cannot go seek out psychics, tarot card readers, okay, in your teenage years and say, oh, I was just doing that for fun. I don't do that anymore. God forgives me. If you have not specifically confessed and renounced those sins, those iniquities will continue to haunt you. And you will have no idea why you are having such a hard time living the Christian life. If you want to enter the promised land, we must be careful to follow all of God's commands. Hallelujah. Look in verse 1. It says, be careful. Be careful. Why does it say be careful? Why not just say follow all the commands of the Lord? Follow every command of the Lord. Why does it say be careful? Why? Because man is careless when it comes to the commands of the Lord. We heap up our sins and we say, God, forgive me. Okay? And you know what? When you pray a sinner's prayer, you know, God is not going to be, okay, you have all these sins. Make sure you get through the list before I'm going to save you. All right? So make sure you go through this list before you finish the sinner's prayer. God doesn't do that. God, in His grace, He graciously accepts your prayer of repentance, the general prayer of repentance. That's justification. Right? He saves you. But after you are saved, the Bible says, work out your salvation with fear and trembling. Right? God is sanctifying us, and therefore, He doesn't just leave it the way it is. He says, let's go back and begin to specifically renounce those sins. Okay? And bondage is broken, healing comes forth, and we are able to go in and possess the promised land. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. Turn to your neighbor and say, be careful to follow every command.
Be careful to follow every command.
Hallelujah. Let's look at verse 2. Remember how the Lord your God led you all the way in the desert. Remember how the Lord your God led you all the way in the desert these 40 years. To humble you and to test you in order to know what was in your heart, whether or not you will keep His commands. Hallelujah. You know, sometimes we come through periods of our spiritual walk where it feels like a desert. Can somebody relate? Amen? You know, sometimes it's not always flowing. Or you need to seek the filling of the Spirit all the time. I think we need to go after Him. But sometimes you go after Him and just like, well, I didn't really feel anything, or I didn't really see anything. And you know what? It might be like that for even a whole month. And you're like, what is going on? What is this spiritual desert? How did I get to this spiritual desert? Nor what did I do wrong? And we start to ask these questions. Okay. It is in the desert. Sometimes God is the one who leads us into the desert. God led the Israelites into the desert. Why? The Word of God says, to humble you and to test you. To humble you and to test you. God brings us through the desert for the purpose of humility. To humble you. Why? Because man is prideful. His heart is full of pride. And the only way sometimes that we can humble a man is to bring him through the desert. Hallelujah. And God also brings us through the desert to test us. You remember in school, or students that are already still in school, right? You get tested, right? Every midterm comes around, you get tested. At the end of the semester, you get tested, right? You got the school district test, citywide test. You got your SATs, a test. You know, what is it? PSATs. You remember PSATs? They still have that.
Hallelujah.
Why did the teachers test you? Why can't they just say, hey, you've been coming on time every day. Looks like you've been nodding your head a lot. Let me give you an A. Why do they test you? To see what is in your brain. Right? Teacher could be like, did you learn this? Yes, ma'am. Okay. No, that doesn't work. Right? You know what? That's the same thing we do with God, though. God says, do you love me? Yes, Lord. And God, if God was just like, okay, I believe you. Let's go on. Okay? Sometimes love needs to be tested before you really know what love's all about. You know what? I don't remember when I started saying I love you to Aaron. I think it was like maybe 4 months. 4 months after we started going out, and then we had a breakup period, and then I think one night I think she said I love you first. She was like, don't you ever say I love you unless you mean it. And I was like, oh, okay, I won't ever use a love you then. I'll just wait. And then one day she was like, I love you. And I was like, I love you too. She's like, hey, it sounded fake. And I was like, hey, I wasn't ready. Hey, I mean, so many people, young people, you know, I love you. Or they text it, I love you. Good night. X and O, smiley face. Heart. It's easy to say I love you, but you know what? Love is not real love until it's tested. Love cannot be seen for what it really is until it is tested. And the same for faith. Right? God brought the Israelites through the desert to test them. The Israelites could have easily said, Lord, we believe, we see all the signs, the miracles, the wonders. We believe that you are the Lord. And they easily said that. But did they really mean it? You see, when you are tested, it's like taking an orange. You know, I heard the pastor of New Song Church in California say this once. It's like taking an orange and squeezing it. When you squeeze that orange, what happens? Okay, if you're strong enough, yeah, juice will come out. Right? Your squeeze didn't create the juice. The juice was already in there. Your squeeze simply exposed what was in the orange. In the same way, when we're tested, we are squeezed to see, and then whatever oozes out, that's what's really inside. Right? And so a lot of times we get tested and all this ugliness comes out. And we end up even blaming God for the ugliness that comes out. And we start blaming God for the situation that we are in. And that's exactly what the Israelites did. They got tested. Right? God was like, all right, they've been getting good water supply. Let me just cut off their water supply for 24 hours. Right? It wasn't even that long. It was just maybe a little bit of, you know, water shortage. Right? And the people started saying, no! God brought us out here to kill us. Were there not enough graves in Egypt that God has to bring us out here in the desert? Let's make an alliance. Let's make a team and then start heading back. Right? They were tested with something simple like water. And they started to grumble and get angry and complain against God. But isn't that a lot of times what we do? When we get tested and we start to find it's not happening according to our timetable, we start to shake our fist at God or we start to grumble. Brothers and sisters, when that starts to happen, it's time to say, Lord, I love you and I really want to know what it means to love you. Lord, help me through this. Lord, help me through this. I will wait upon you. I will stay in faith and wait upon you. I will not take matters into my own hands. Lord, I'm going to choose to rejoice in you in this situation. I'm going to choose to praise you in this situation because you are still God. You are still God. All right? We got to respond to the tests with faith. Hallelujah. And what is the purpose? You know, some people don't like tests. I personally enjoy tests. Teacher said, pop quiz. I'd be like, oh, yeah. I'm ready. Showing what I got. But yeah, some of the students, pop quiz. Oh, no, it's the end of the world. Some people just hate a test. I mean, really. In Philly, man, students would just walk out. This is Philly. It's been, man, I ain't taking this test. Test. So actually, I didn't have that many pop quizzes in Philly. No, that just didn't happen. But what time is it? I enjoyed it. But yeah, a lot of people don't like tests. A lot of people don't like tests. They don't like, you know, see surprises and stuff. Tests are hard. It's hard. No one likes tests, right? A lot of people don't like tests. So what's the purpose of all this testing? Well, if you look on later in this chapter, look at verse 16. Verse 16 says, he gave you manna to eat in the desert, something your fathers had never known, to humble and to test you, so that in the end, it might go well with you. You know, when God tests you, he's doing it so that it might go well with you. If he doesn't test you, you know what? Guess what? When hardships come, you're going to buckle. You're going to compromise. You're going to forget the Lord. He wants you to get in a pattern where his blessing goes out to you so that it might go well with you. He humbles and tests you so that it's for your good. The Bible says in Romans 8:28, God works all things for the good of those who love him. Even the tests that he brings us to, the deserts that he brings us to, he works that out for your good. He does it so that it might go well with you. But when we get tested, a lot of times we feel like, why are you doing this, Lord? I told you I love you. Well, you don't believe me? All right, and we get this like very angry attitude. Come on. There are people that do that. Hallelujah. By the way, I don't know why I say hallelujah so much in my sermons. I think it happened sometime last year. Is that okay with y'all? Hallelujah. Hallelujah. Okay, hallelujah. When God tests us, he does it for our own good. So next time you go through a test, say, God, I thank you. Because you're doing something for my good right now. It's hard. Oh, but there's going to be something good at the end of this. So Lord, I'm going to stay faithful through this test. Because I know that God, you are faithful. Let's keep reading. Verse 3. He humbled you, causing you to hunger and then feeding you with manna, which neither you nor your fathers had known, to teach you that man does not live on bread alone, but on every word that comes from the mouth of God. But on every word that comes from the mouth of the Lord. Every day we wake up, one of the first things we think about after we wash up is what? Breakfast. A few hours later, it's time for lunch. And in Spain, a few hours after that, there's siesta and then a little nap. And a few hours after that, it's time for dinner. And for some people, a few hours after that, there is time for a snack. And for some people, a few hours after that, all right, stop. Please don't tell me. Every waking hour, we think about food. Come on. We eat to live. Some people live to eat. But many, all of us, we all think, you know, we got to eat to live. That's what our parents always tell us. 먹고 살아야지. Huh? 얼마나 바빠도 먹고 살아야지. 밥 좀 제대로 차려 먹어. 뭐 먹었다고? 그런 junk food 왜 또 먹어? You know, my mom's always, she'll always ask me, what did I eat? Whatever I tell her, junk food. I could go to a healthy restaurant, she'll still call it junk food. If I don't eat at home and eat the cooking that she gave me, it's junk food. This is my mouth. But every waking hour, we think food, because that's our survival. But what God did for the Israelites in the desert, He still does for His people today. He humbles you to show you that man does not live on bread alone. The Korean translation says, bang or pop? Thug. Wow. Man does not live on thug alone. Hallelujah. But on every word that comes from the mouth of God. The word of God is our daily bread. But many times we are so, we know what happens is during the day when things get difficult, when we're tested, people rub us the wrong way, right? At that time, we need to really steal away and get the word of God. We need to feed our soul so that our soul has something to give out, right? Out of the overflow of your heart, your mouth speaks. So the more you fill your heart with the word of God, the more your mouth will speak the words and the encouragement and the love of God. But what happens? Like somebody rubs you the wrong way? Man, I can't stand that coworker. I'm going to go get a brownie from the fridge. I think there's an ice cream in the cafeteria refrigerator. Nobody's claimed it for like a week. I think I can eat it. Every time things ugly come out, what do? We smother it with food. This goes for everybody. Food becomes the anesthesia for the soul. Everybody does it. Everybody does it. Some people do it with TV. You know, oh man, I'm so angry. What should I do? Turn on TV. Ooh, I feel better. All my problems are gone. Right? They're not gone. They're still there. But it's anesthesia. It's anesthesia. Brothers and sisters, we need to live with a hunger for His Word. We need to live on His Word. Our soul's appetite must be fed. That's why some people fast. When you fast, you deny yourself food. So the daily workings of eating meals is put to a halt. All the time, attention you put to preparation for meals and eating the meal and cleaning up the meal, all that time is freed up. So as whereas before somebody rubbed you the wrong way, you went and you just got an ice cream and you felt better, now you can't go to that ice cream. What you going to do? You better go and pray. You better go and memorize a Bible verse. You better go and feed your soul and deal with it. Not smother it over and hope that it doesn't come back. Hallelujah. You know, my wife Erin, you know, she just completed 2 years of her contract at her school. Okay, she didn't work at a Hagwon. Okay, she worked at an elementary school in Korea. Okay, and she had to teach only using English. Okay, and that's hard. If she was not a Korean, that would be easier because, you know, they don't know Korean anyway. But she knows a little bit of Korean. And all these little kids would come up to her and, "Sonsenim, Sonsenim, Sonsenim." And she can only use English back. And they would say things like, "Oh, Sonsenim, 못생겼어요. You're ugly," right? And she can just say, "Hey, little brat, stop that." Right? And then, "뭐라 그래요, 선생님? 아, 영어 나 몰라, 몰라, 못생겼어." You know? You know how Korean kids are, right? And she had to endure that every day. That was hard. But not only that, she had a co-worker. Okay, there was a co-teacher she had that just tormented her. I think this lady needs deliverance. Like, really. The things that I hear, the stories from Aaron, man, this lady needs some deliverance. Anyway, I noticed that after a while, it wasn't just the devil harassing Aaron. God was using this lady to test Aaron. God was using this lady to really test and shape and mold Aaron's character to be a samonim. Amen? We need to thank that co-teacher one day. Because without that co-teacher, she wouldn't have matured in the character that she did in the last 2 years. But you know what? Sometimes when she has a bad day, I talk to her. You know? I think there was a, whenever the cult teacher and her had a bad fight, that's my theory. I think she ate more chocolate on that day. Right? Baby, you had a bad day? Oh, baby, oh, I'm sorry. How much chocolate did you eat? But then when she's fasting, she's not able to do that. Right? And so she has to draw out of her spiritual resources to respond with faith and love. Okay. And what this verse is saying is God is bringing these Israelites into the desert and fed you with manna to teach you that man does not live on bread alone. What do we know about manna? Manna fell from heaven and it fell daily. Okay? You didn't get a month's supply. You didn't get 2 days' supply. You got a daily supply. So every day you had to go out and collect the manna. And if you try to collect too much manna and try to save it for the next day, guess what? The next day, the manna, maggots. You don't want to eat the manna anymore. I mean, yeah. And you know what? The manna didn't always taste good either. In the beginning, they were like, wow. What is it? Okay? That's what manna means. What is it? So everybody's like, honey, can you get the what is it today? All right, baby, I'll get the what is it. What is it, by the way? We don't know. It's what is it? What is it? Did you have your what is it? Yeah, I have my what is it. Did you? Yeah. What is it? I don't know. What is it? You know what, people, that's what it really means. Manna means what is it. Yeah, did y'all know that? Is that funny? God's funny, amen? God's funny. Hallelujah. God could have been like, no, don't you dare call it that. This is holy. Call it this. But God was like, oh, no, that's pretty funny. They're going to keep that. Everybody call it manna. Keep calling it manna. You know what? And every day they ate it, you know what? After a while, it didn't taste so good. All right? Some people, they didn't look forward to eating it, but they kept on eating it. Why? Because God made them, just training them to depend on God for food. Do you see that? That was the lesson of manna. Depend on God for food. Go out and collect it every day because God is the supplier of that bread. Brothers and sisters, in that same way, we must go out each day and get our sustenance, our nutrition from the Word of God. And we must do it as frequently as possible, as regularly as possible. If you can't absolutely do it daily, well, just do your best. Or just get a small memory verse at least. And just feed on that. Just like you would go in autopilot mode and feed yourself food every day. Train yourself to depend on every word that comes from the mouth of God. And you know what? Your diet needs to consist of all of the food groups. That means the entire word of God. From every word. Did you notice here? From every man does not live on bread alone, but on every word that comes from the mouth of God. Every word. That means every word and every page and every book. Hallelujah. That does not mean I like the Gospel of Mark. I'm only going to read Mark. All right? No, sister. You're going to read the whole Bible. Because look, you are malnutrition. You know what? Some people, you look at their spiritual life. You're like, man, that is some malnutrition. That person needs a balanced diet. And you ask them, you see their Bible reading pattern, and you can tell why. Why are their doctrines all vulnerable to heresy? You know? Why are there Marcionites? Why are there still practical Marcionites around today in the church? Why? Because people don't read the Old Testament. But look at the book. When you divide the book of the books of the Bible, and you hold it like this, guess what? The Old Testament is the majority of the Bible. Hallelujah. I don't know why you're afraid of the Old Testament. Or why you're afraid of books like Deuteronomy. Look how rich the book of Deuteronomy is. Look in chapter 6. That's where we get, love the Lord your God with all your heart. With all your heart. With all your soul. With all your strength. Hallelujah. That's where we get out of Deuteronomy. And you're like, what? Deuteronomy. Why are we afraid of these books? Books of the book of Numbers. I don't read book of Numbers. It's got numbers. No, it doesn't. Why? How many times have I heard that? It's not true. Read it. It's not just genealogies. Hallelujah. It's the Word of God. Every word, we got to have a balanced diet. Amen?
Amen?
Tell your neighbor that. You need to have a balanced diet. Please. Let's look at verse 4. Your clothes did not wear out and your feet did not swell during these 40 years. Hallelujah. You know, when you are on God's plan to enter God's promised land, I believe that God protects you with divine health and favor. Okay? I believe that's the norm that we need to expect as a people of God. We need to expect God's favor and God's blessing of health. Okay? It was true in the Old Testament, and I believe it's still true today. I believe diseases, they all have roots. Okay, and that's why deliverance and healing is such an important ministry. If you deal and you sanctify and you start dealing with generational curses in your family will live in health. Who gets blessed every time your family member gets struck down with a disease? Or you get sick, you're in and out of the hospital. Guess what? What happens when you go in and out of the hospital? You go broke. And then you got to borrow money. What kind of blessing are you being when you're doing that? I believe God blesses you to be a blessing. He wants you to be the head and not the tail. He wants you to lend and not borrow. That's why health, you got to claim it. Lord, I want to be healthy. Lord, you are my healer. Lord, heal my body. Make me healthy. I don't care. So many Koreans, you know, they always say, oh, uri other. Uri other, why is he burping so much? Oh, uri other 좀 소화가 좀 약해요. 배가 좀 약해요. You know, his stomach's just weak. You know, and I heard that, like, because I was sick when I was in sixth grade. So for the rest of my life, I heard 배가 좀 약해요. 배가 좀 약해요. You know, I just be like, oh, 배 아파. Oh, 배가 좀 약해요. You know, and I started believing that, and you know what? My 배 was 약해. But when I got to college, I was like, you know, I'm tired of this. I want to get healthy. I want a good digestive system. So I did my part to eat right. Hallelujah. And you know what? My digestion was pretty good for a while. And then I had a period where I had some little gastritis problems. And hallelujah, I lay hands on my stomach and I got better again. Hallelujah. I can eat samgyeopsal. One time I wrote a Zanga entry. I was like, my doctor told me I can never eat samgyeopsal again. This is the end of the world for me. Jesus, please return soon. I wrote like a Zanga entry like that, and so many people commented. They were like, my condolences, brother. Can't eat steak? I got you, bro. I got you. I'm sorry, though. You know what? I was like, no, I'm not selling for that. Who told me my stomach's got to be like this for the rest of my life? Who told me that? Your mama. Well, my mama's wrong. I lay hands on myself, and I got better. You know what? I got to do my part still to eat right. But you know what? I'm claiming health for my body. And God wants you to claim health for yours. Hallelujah. God is your healer. Look back in Deuteronomy 7, verse 15. Chapter 7, verse 15. Let me show you that. Let's read that together. 1, 2, 3. The Lord will keep you free from every disease. He will not inflict on you the horrible diseases you knew in Egypt, but He will inflict them on all who hate you. I hate you. Oh, you don't want to say that, brother. Okay? The Lord will keep you free from every disease. Amen? Why would this only apply to the Israelites? Why? Any people of God that has been called to the purposes of God, I believe this can apply to. God will keep you from every disease. Your sandals won't wear out. Your feet will not swell. Hallelujah. Your whole body, God will keep you free from every disease. You know what? You need to just declare that over you. Just declare, even if you're sick right now, even if you have a disease, just declare that over yourself. God will keep me free from every disease. God, Psalm 103, God heals, God forgives all my sin and heals all my disease. He is called Jehovah Rapha, the Lord, our healer. Hallelujah. If you want a Hebrew lesson. Claim your healing. Declare it. God is a God who declares things that are not as though they were. You know, as a people of God, we need to do the same thing God's doing. My family right now might be in bondage, but I declare my family free by the anointing of the Holy Spirit. And I will continue to declare that my family be free until I see it to completion. I might be sick right now. I might be going in and out of the hospital, but I declare myself healthy. God will keep me free from every disease if I put my faith in Him and follow all of His commands. And you declare that. You declare it. As you declare the Word of God over your life, your Word has authority to change things. Hallelujah. And you will live in the blessings of God. Let's look at verse 5. Chapter 8, verse 5. Know then in your heart that as a man disciplines his son, so the Lord your God disciplines you. Amen. Y'all know what that's all about. Hallelujah. My dad never disciplined me. He did once. Actually, when I was like 4 years old, I did an insult to my grandma or something like that. I don't even remember what I did. I was 4 years old. And my dad just came in the house and he just went, all up on me. He didn't like even touch me. I don't remember if he touched me. But I felt like I got beat up. I was in the corner shivering. Felt like I got beat up. That's the only time I saw my dad kind of trying to discipline me. Okay, I didn't have my dad discipline me. I don't know how it is for a man to discipline his son. But I do know how it is for a mama. Man, my mama disciplined me. Hallelujah. The rod will beat foolishness out of you. Hallelujah. And you know what? That I believe that. Because it's true of me. And I was telling some of the leaders this weekend. You know, I was like, man, what? I know now why I think I never really had a problem with pornography. You know, I help all these brothers. So many brothers. It's just a common secret sin, right? And I try to help a lot of brothers out. And I think it helps that I didn't struggle with it as much, you know. Because I can tell them, hey, you can live this way. It's possible. But I was always wondering, why did I have a problem with pornography? When I had all my friends around me, they had Playboys and Penthouse, you know, and all these videos. Hey, Suck, come over. A Korean name, Suck Young. So, yeah, Suck, come over. Hey, check out these videos. And, you know, no, thanks. You know why? Because one time in seventh grade, I'm just be vulnerable in front of you. I posted up posters of bikini-clad women. All right? Don't ask me why. I was a seventh grader. I just posted these posters up, and then I had like a poster of Choi Jin-shi or something like that. I don't know why I had a poster of Choi Jin-shi. Y'all know who Choi Jin-shi is? Come on, Korean natives. Yes, you do. Cheer too, you know. Hallelujah. Anyway, yeah. One day I came home, and those posters were gone. And my mom said, come into this room. And I knew when Choi Jin-shi was the only one on the wall. I knew something was coming. And I'm telling you, that was the worst beating I ever got. It was the worst beating. I mean, my mom beat lust out of me. So every time my friends tempted me with pornography, or was like, hey, come take a look at this, I was like, no! Because the fear of God was on my heart from that beating. I'm serious. I think our parents have a manifestation of the fear of God. Really, really. Especially when you're children. We are so scared whenever they get that meh-meh, we just start to tremble. We literally start to shake and tremble, you know? You know, it doesn't make any sense. They're just your parents, you know? But they have a manifestation of the fear of God. The authority of God, right? Man, the fear of God drew out all lust. Just drove it out. Hallelujah. God disciplines His sons. You know what? Sometimes if you trip up, God will discipline you. You know what? And you might be like, my God, why are you punishing me? And God's like, look, this is not just punishment. Punishment is just like in Singapore, if you spit out gum on the sidewalk, you get caned like 5 times. That's punishment. Discipline is when a loving mother beats the crap out of you and then tells you to get the auntie plum in so she can rub it on your butt and make you feel better. And then she holds you and says, I'm sorry. And you go, okay. I love you. That's discipline. Right? God, my mama did that. But it was for my own good. She was trying to shape me into a man. A man with integrity. Hallelujah. One time, oh shoot, I remember this story. Okay, the Spirit of God, hallelujah. Just reminded me. When I was in second grade, I went to a 7-Eleven with my cousin. My cousin, he showed me how to steal for the first time. Okay. Went in there, he was just like, yo, what you want? What you want? And he was like a black belt in Taekwondo, so I was scared of him. Anything you want. And my cousin Unshik was all right, Unshik, I hope you're not listening. He's like, take this Kit Kat. Yeah, you want this Kit Kat? I'm like, oh yeah. Hey, will you buy it? I'm thinking he's gonna buy it for me, right? Okay, take that Kit Kat. All right. You want this? All right, Snicker. All right, take this Snicker. All right, so I'm like, okay, I'm holding this, and he's like, all right, put it in your pocket. Follow me. He just takes all this stuff. He puts it in his pocket. So I kind of followed him, and then I saw what was happening. I was like, oh, and the fear of God came on my heart. I thought, this is not right. So I kind of turned the corner and put the Kit Kats back. And my cousin was like, where are them Kit Kats? I want it. And I was like, huh? I thought it was a Kit Kat you want to give it to me. And I left it in there. He's like, you stupid, why'd you leave it in there? You just take it out. This is yours. And I was like, no, there's something not right about that. But for whatever reason, ended up stealing later from my parents. I don't know how old I was, 5th or 6th grade. It was whenever I got Nintendo, okay? And I started wanting to save up for Nintendo games. I wanted like tag team wrestling and Super Spike V-Ball and all these Nintendo games. Hallelujah. Come on, some of y'all know what I'm talking about. Yeah. You know, I used to have that like four player controlled remote Nintendo satellite joint. Hallelujah. And we play Super Spike V-Ball with 4 players. That joint was fun. My sister was real good. She'd be like, with the button. It was real good. Super Spike Vivo. But anyway, I'm trying to save up for a Nintendo game. I would go into my dad's bedroom, and in by his bedside drawer, he would just have stashes of cash. You know how cranes are. It was just like over like $1,000. It was all in $20 bills. So I'm like, my dad got gonna notice. So I just took one. Right. Week later, my mama didn't mend me. So I was like, all right, it's easy. Take 2. Right? Take 3. And I started getting real bold, right? Shoot. 5. Okay? I just started stealing all this money from my own dad. You know what? But my dad didn't buy me toys. You got to understand, right? I felt like it was kind of justified. You know, this is my dad. He should be buying me toys. Right, he only does it once a year in Christmas. This is not right. I have to go over to my Vietnamese friend Dat to play with his toys. Why can't I have my own toys? And that was like my mentality. I stole all this money. You know what I did? I put it under my bed. All right, come on. When you're kids, you think, man, that's the place nobody will look. What I forgot was, man, once every 2 months, my mom, she redoes the whole sheets. So I remember I came home one day. And the sheets were off the bed. And I was like, oh man, it's over. I opened it up, no money. And I hear my mom come into the bedroom. 엄마 방으로 와. Go in there. She's got all the cash in her hand. It's about like $200, right? 이 돈 어디서 찾았어? Where did you get this money? Her next question was, how many times you want to get hit? Why do parents ask that? 몇 번 맞을래? 어? 몇 번? I mean, that's like the worst question to ask a kid. If you go too low, you know she's going to spank you for just going too low. But anyway, I tried to be slick. I was like, 5. And she was like, good, double it. Beat down. She drove theft out of me. I never had a spirit of theft after that ever again in my life. I've never stolen, really, literally. I mean, other than like surfing the web while I'm working, which is kind of like stealing from your employer. I heard later on through another sermon. So brothers and sisters, don't do that. Don't surf the web on your employer time. You know, that's stealing from them. You need to glorify God there. Anyway, other than that, I mean, I really haven't stolen anything. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. Anyway, God disciplines those whom He loves. It says in Hebrews, God disciplines His Son. He disciplines those whom He loves. When He disciplines you, He does it in love. If your parents didn't love you, like some of you maybe experienced that. If you had a parent that didn't love you, guess what? They didn't care. They didn't discipline you. It's heartache. That's a lot of trouble to have to beat your kid, to have to discipline them, to ground them and stuff like that. That's a lot of trouble. But parents that don't really love their kids, they don't do that. But God, He's our perfect Heavenly Father. Amen? And He disciplines us because He loves us. He wants to make us into the image of His Son. Hallelujah. And we're going to end with this, verses 6 through 9. Observe the commands of the Lord your God, walking in His ways and revering Him. For the Lord your God is bringing you into a good land, a land with streams and pools of water, with springs flowing in the valleys and hills, a land with wheat and barley, vines and fig trees, pomegranates, olive oil, and honey, land where bread will not be scarce and you will lack nothing, a land where the rocks are iron and you can dig copper out of the hills. Somebody say, that land is good. That land is good. Hallelujah. And the promised land that I believe that God has for this church is a good land. Good land. Hallelujah. We're going to have good missions programs. We're going to produce good quality leaders. We're going to have good facilities, hallelujah, to hold conferences and revivals, to touch young people's lives, and to raise up an army of God in other churches and other nations, hallelujah. What if we can do it well here? We can reproduce it elsewhere. Amen? But we got to do it well here. We got to do it faithfully here. Hallelujah. If you walk in God's ways and you revere Him, God will take you in to the promised land. God will take you into the promised land. So brothers and sisters, right now those chairs are still empty. There's empty chairs all around. But hallelujah, there will come a day if you continue to walk in His ways and revere Him, and you're careful to follow all of His commands, and you know that when God tests you, He does it in love. When He disciplines you, He does it in love. If you keep in faith, you will enter the promised land. Hallelujah. I'm going to close here. I didn't get to the point of the title of my message, and I'm sorry. So I'll change the title of my message on the podcast. But the end of this passage was about, once you get in there, do not forget the Lord your God. Because if you do, God will destroy you. That's what God says. What? I'm just delivering the word of God. That's true. It's true, right? Even if you like go this far, if you go this far, and let's say you start forsaking the Lord, or you start going backsliding, or you start chasing other after gods, God will destroy you. Okay, He will use evil spirits, bondage, to chastise you, to discipline you, just like He did King Saul. And if you will not respond, He will destroy you. All right, hallelujah. And then we don't want that, so we don't want to. We want to forget not the Lord. Now, that's another message. We'll preach that another time. But hallelujah. For today, brothers and sisters, live by every word that comes from the mouth of the Lord and despise not the Lord's discipline. Let us pray. Lord God, we just thank you. We thank you that God, you have chosen us as your people. And that God, you have a purpose and a promise for your people. To be a blessing to all nations. That you will raise up for yourself passionate, spirit-filled worshipers from every tribe, nation, and tongue. And that you will do it through your people. Hallelujah. And so God, I pray that Lord, for this church here, that we would despise not your discipline. That we would learn to know and know when you're testing us. And when you bring us through the desert, we will know that it is for our own good that you're doing these things. You're transforming us, changing us into your image of your Son. So that it might go well with us. So that we may continue to revere you. So that we may continue to follow in all of your ways. And not live just by bread alone, but by every word that comes from the mouth of God. And that God, we will go in to take possession and to enter the promised land. That good purpose that you have for us. We want to go in and enter and take possession of it for your glory, O God. We pray it in Jesus' name. Amen.